Shabbat Shalom, Rabbi David, Shabbat Shalom, Mishpacha, and welcome to Beth Israel. It is so good to see you here. Let's say it differently, see y'all here. Yeah, it's much better now, yeah. So today I want to take some lessons from the life of Noah, and I want to continue yesterday's teaching we had yesterday. So this is a very interesting and instructive chapter for all of us here. I believe it is so important to know this story and to understand it completely. Story of Noah. Noah lived in very difficult times, and the Bible tells us that all the world was corrupted. And can you imagine to live in this world, that all the world was corrupted? Yeah, it is not today. You know why? Because we have each other. And Noah, he was alone, without anybody around him who would support his faith. So we actually in pretty good shape today. You can smile at each other through mask, I'm sorry. Yeah, so yeah, look at each other and by faith to see smile of each other. Outside of Noah's family, there was not a single person who could understand Noah and sympathize with his point of view. No one. He was alone. Only his family. And we can also see that even some part of his family were not with him. All the rest of humanity made every effort to prove to God and to Noah that they were out of touch, their values outdated, having zero understanding of contemporary life and times. And the Lord, He's merciful. He's merciful. He's a loving God. The Lord, in His mercy and compassion, commanded Noah to warn the world, to bring the message of salvation and God's justice to all mankind. You know, the same things are happening today. Very familiar, very similar. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 9, 2 Peter 3, 3 to 9. First of all, understand that in the last day, scoffers will come scoffing. For sure, why? Because they're scoffers. It's easy. Following after their own desires and saying, where is this promise of his coming? Ever since the fathers died, everything goes on just as it has from the beginning of creation. I mean, the same message around us. Nothing happening, everything the same. Where is the Lord? What's going on? I mean, maybe he's not here. Who knows? You see, there is nothing new about our current conflict between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God. Everything the same. It is a very ancient, having been around since the beginning of time. The same message that Noah heard from people around him, we can hear today. Where is God? Nothing changed. Maybe he's not here. You know, very simple but important truth we need to know. Satan does not accept God's will. It's all. I mean, point. He never has, never will. People who do not choose to live by the values of God's kingdom automatically choose to live in opposition to God. It is not middle ground between kingdom of God and kingdom of this world. Yeah, we need to choose. So, how did everything end in the Noah time? We know in Genesis chapter 7, verse 16. And they that went into the ark, male and female of all flesh, went in as the Lord commanded him, and the Lord shut behind him the ark. So we need to understand, it was the Lord who shut the door into the ark, not the Noah. He was a righteous man. He loved the people around him. I believe he would open the door for everyone to be safe. But the Lord shut the door behind him. So let us remember this saying, Never too late until it's too late. Yeah. 100 years, it's pretty much time. Whole people of the world were laughing of Noah, but it was the testimony for people in this earth. But those people had every opportunity that Noah had to live a righteous life. They had another 100 years of opportunity to perform teshuvah, to repent and change their actions. And, you know, simple, small but important truth here. Everyone was sure that Noah was crazy. Whole world, can you imagine? Everyone. But in fact, they all turned out to be crazy. Whole the world. Noah was in good mind. He kept the faith and he was correct, he was right. The last thing Noah heard was, please forgive us. Open the door to the ark for us. But it was already too late. The opportunity for salvation had already been lost for those people. So, we need to be alert. Let's say together, we need to be alert. We need to be very careful in our walk with the Lord. We need to be careful. We need to be alert. This is our task from the Lord. So, I want to look briefly at the continuation of Noah's story when the ark landed after the great flood. And what happened next? So, it is in Genesis chapter 9. We all know this story, when Noah drank some wine. And what happened to him? Please, do not do these experiments. Do not drink too much wine. So, he drank too much. Actually, it was not a sin because he was at home. It was his tent. He doesn't know about this wine, this thing. So, verse 20, Genesis 9:20. Then Noah, a man of the soil, was first to plant a vineyard. He drank some of the wine, got drunk for sure, and was uncovered in his tent. Then Ham, Canaan's father, saw his father's private parts and told his brother, two brothers outside. So he was so excited. He went and called his brothers. Brothers, look at him. This stupid old man, look what happened with him. He's drunk. So Shem and Japheth took the cloak and laid it over both their shoulders and walked backwards and with it covered their father's private parts. But their faces were turned away, so they did not see their father's private parts. So Ham reminds me of someone who was able to get into the ark of salvation. But he still brought his past sins and his old behavior with him into this ark. Can you see it here? You know why? Because Ham used to make fun of his dad, of his old father. Same as everyone else did in the earth before this time. And even after that, what happened with the world and the flood, after he sees by his own eyes that his father was right, Ham still held the same disrespect to his father. He came to this ark, but he didn't change. And you know this story, what happened to him. Therefore, I want to appeal to all congregation and to everyone who hear me with these words from the message to the Hebrews. I know that it's not a very popular passage in the Bible, but it is very useful. It's in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 26. Please open with me and consider to read it with me. Hebrews 10, 24, 27. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good deeds. And do not neglect your own meetings as it the habit of someone, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we keep on sinning willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but only to refine expectation of judgment and a fury of fire about to devour the enemies of God. So be careful here. We need to be careful with our walk with the Lord, because He's merciful, He's patient, but He's long patient to us. But even long patient has this end. Even 100 years has its end. So we need to be careful with our walk with the Lord. Let's say together, careful in our walk with the Lord. It is such an honor and privilege to know Yeshua and follow Him all your life. Today, all of you are needed. Needed now more than ever before. Together, we need to build an ark of salvation for people who need to be saved. We need every heart, every person who will stand in the gap for others. We need you. We need your heart. The Lord needs you. In closing, I want to take some important lessons from the story of Noah. Actually, it's funny because closing is 10 pages. Yes, I was getting the closing. First lesson I took from the story of Noah. Do not be afraid to go against the whole sinful world in following God. Do not be afraid. I mean, it's not easy thing for sure, but do not be afraid. Even if some of them are your friends or your family or your co-workers, do not be afraid to follow the Lord. You know the words in Matthew chapter 10. How many times people told me that it's too hard to follow the Lord because of their family or opposition or something else. But remember these words. It's Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Yeshua said about Himself, "Do not think that I came to bring shalom on the earth. I did not come to bring shalom, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household." It is a price. It's a great price. Sometimes it's a price. "He who loves father or mother more than me isn't worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me isn't worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me isn't worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." It is very harsh, but it is truth. Sometimes following the Lord requires a great sacrifice from us. Sometimes it costs a person greatly. It's not always easy, but it is a good thing to follow the Lord. And very often, in order to save our family and bring them to God, we need to make difficult decisions in our lives and not give up on our faith, even if our family disagrees with it. We need to keep up with our faith. You know, I would like to share my story, and I know maybe some of you heard my story, but maybe it will help you sometimes in some places. So I was born in Ukraine and raised in Ukraine, which was the part of the Soviet Union in my childhood and my youth time. So be careful with Soviet Union and everything else like that. And as you know from history, socialism and communism very often wage war with faith in God. Communist countries often, always in war with the Lord. Often. Faith is not a good thing in the communist countries. I remember one funny story, one anecdote and a joke, but there is some truth in every joke. In one of the schools of the Soviet Union, during a science lesson, the teacher told the children that there is no God out there, that all people descended from monkeys, at least half of them, you know. What the knowledge of science, that the knowledge of science was far advanced beyond that they could learn from the legends of religion, that believers are stupid and old-fashioned, representatives of the dark past. That people went into space and God was not seen there. So, you know, so on. Science lesson in the communist country, you know. At the end of the lesson, she said in a loud voice, "Come on, children, repeat after me." So please don't repeat these words. It's she told them. She said in the world, "Repeat after me. There is no God. The Bible is a fairy tale." And all the class, all the children together, and with all enthusiasm, you know, communist enthusiasm, loudly repeated her words, with the exception of one little Jewish boy who was silent. So then the teacher, she saw him, and she even louder began to demand that all the children repeat after her that there is no God, and all this is fiction. And again, all the children obeyed her, except for this young Jewish boy. He was quiet. And then the teacher angrily pounced on the poor student and began to shout at him, "Why are you silent? Are you a believer? Why do you despise us?" And then, only then, this boy quietly answered her with such words, "If you are right, and there is no God, and it is clear and understandable to you, why should I shout out loud? But what if he exists? Why should I spoil my relationships with him? If he exists, I don't want to spoil with him. Everything's fine." So, I was the same little boy at that time. No, it's not my story. I mean, I believed in the Lord. I wasn't so bold in the time, but I believed in the Lord, my deepest part of my heart, even if people around me told that God does not exist anymore. Actually, we have one lady in Nikolaev congregation who was the teacher of atheism in the college before she came to the Lord. And now she's devout believer. She's really faithful to the Lord now. And she was the teacher of atheism in the college. So you need to listen to her about the Lord. She can tell you a lot. Jewish believer who believes in the Lord. So like that little boy, I was born and raised in a non-religious family. My mother was a neurologist, and my father was an engineer and held a leading position on his job. And it was not customary for us to talk about God or mention about faith, because the Soviet Union was considered a country of atheists, and there was a very strong persecution of believers, really strong. People have been in prison for decades for believing in God and preaching the Bible in the Soviet Union time. If at school they found out that some child from a family of believers, he was ridiculed by the whole school. And if at work they found out that someone was a believer, he was persecuted and fired from all positions. It was great price for people to believe in the Lord at that times. So when I was about 16 years old, right after the collapse of the Soviet Union, someone sent us a little book called New Testament by mail. I don't know who it was. I will ask the Lord for sure. This is my question for him. So when my mother saw it, she forbade me to pick it up and read it. She told me, "Never. This is not for you. Don't read it. Don't touch it. Don't even look at it." But you know, what teenager would not want to do what his parents forbade him, you know? I was 16 years old, and for sure, it became to be goal of my life to find this book. So I didn't find peace until I found a deeply hidden book and began to wonder what was a forbidden and why it was not allowed to read it. What's happened here? Why? I remember the first time I opened the book of Matthew and was amazed at how Jewish the New Testament is. I was amazed. In the first chapter of the book of Matthew, I actually found the genealogy of the Messiah, his Jewish lineage. It is so obvious there. Open first book of Matthew and you will find it here. I read the chapter and in anger, because it was obvious for me, but I was in anger, I threw that book on the table. It slid across the table and fell behind it. So a few days later, I had a strong desire, hunger, to read it again. And I crawled under the table to get this book. I found it, and only later I realized it, that it was the first time I bowed to God in order to get this book and read about Him. Yeah, the Lord is wise. This time I read much more than the first time, and when I threw the New Testament on the table, I tried to do it carefully now. Second time. But it's slid. So next time I went my knees and went behind the desk, find this book. So I will never forget the spiritual hunger that I experienced for the Word of God at that moment. I read this book without stopping, all New Testament, again and again. And when I read from the book of Luke, where it said that the nation will appear before the Lord on Yom Kippur, Judgment Day, and He will separate each one into one of two groups of people. You remember this story, sheep and goats. And I remember how the Lord showed me, I believe I had vision from the Lord, I saw myself among the goats with no hope, with tears of hopelessness, because I heard these words, it is too late, no more hope, no more salvation. The same that happened during the time of Noah. At the same moment, I felt myself around sheep, and I received this joy of salvation. I remember my question, Lord, why? What am I done? I'm not worthy. And I understood, this is not because of me. This is because of Yeshua who died for me, because of Messiah. At that moment, I remember I was crying, I was weeping before the Lord. And when I stood up, I was a different person. My heart changed. My life changed. Everything changed in my life because I decided to follow the Lord. I decided to follow Him. You know, but my story continued and was interesting. So why I'm telling this? Because when I accepted Yeshua by faith and my life was completely transformed from that moment, my whole family was very upset with me. And everyone began to pull me out of my faith. They tried to save me out of my faith. Took me from this ark of salvation, you know. Yeah, Noah, it's good. Come here. Drown with us. Water is cool. They sincerely decided that I had lost my mind and their poor young child was completely lost to this world and to the future. They were sure. They were atheists. My father forced me to watch news on TV, I remember. He sat me down, watch this TV, look at here, do not go anywhere. And programs where they proved that there is no God. And in response, I preached him on the topic of the news, I remember, yeah. You see, Father, Bible says about the same thing. The words broke here. I said, you see, let's open Revelation. We'll find here. He was so angry at me, for sure. I remember how my mother took me to a psychiatrist in the hospital to scare me, yeah, to give me help. Not only did it not scare me, but I began to rejoice even more that my family was persecuting me for faith in the Lord. I was so happy about it. She was a scare, not me. So I can tell you, the time was fun, really fun. But an end of the story is much better than beginning. So after years of observing my faith in action, and my kind of life that I lived, after years of seeing that my words do not differ from my deeds, they begin to see the value of what I believed after years, many years. And first, my great-grandmother, at her 94 years old age, came to believe in the Messiah Yeshua. Then my mother came, and eventually my father came to the Lord. So my parents, who once opposed me and fought with me, became a loyal part of the Jewish Messianic congregation in the city of Nikolaev, in which I was a Messianic rabbi for 16 years. And I can tell you small truth and small secret. Please don't tell anybody. Please don't tell anybody. I had to watch every word because my parents sat and listened attentively to be sure that I was telling the truth. I can see their faces and their eyes. Okay, Lord, I need to be careful. So my father is already with the Lord, and my mother is still faithful to the Lord and serves in the congregation. So why I tell this to you? I tell you this as an example from my own life, so that we understood this simple truth. If I had compromised my faith so that my parents would be not worried for me and we will be in peace and everything will be fine, in order to maintain peace in the family, then none of them would ever have come to faith. Never. The same with Noah. He had choice. Or follow the crowd, multitude, actually whole world, or follow the Lord. Even it was new, even it was against the flow of this world, he decided to follow the Lord. And I'm so faithful to him. You know why? Because we are here. Because he followed the Lord. Against the flow of the world. He was crazy in the eyes of people, but he was wise in the eyes of the Lord. He built an ark of salvation so we can be saved in this ark. So this is the first lesson from the life of Noah, and I have five more, but I need to stop here. So I just want to read it briefly, and we will see it later with the life of Abraham. I will continue and say the same. So second lesson, learn to hear the voice of God in the multitude of different voices around. A lot of voices around. But our task to learn how to listen to the Lord's voice. And we need to train to do that. You have scriptures, you have congregation, you have prayer teams. You can do that. Yeah, five pages. So third point, do not be afraid to do something new. Please think about it. Noah built an ark in the dry place with no rain on the earth. I can imagine people saying to him, are you insane? What are you doing? Build house to me if you want to build something. If you're working for free, build, apartment, I want to live here. Why are you building this stupid thing? I can imagine his own voice inside of him. Noah, what are you doing? Yeah, and fourth and the last lesson, do everything for 100%. Do not stop at 98%. Can you imagine the Lord built everything and stopped at the last moment? What would happen? Nothing would happen. So let's stop here, and I just want to quickly pray for us. And please open your heart and open your mind and just take some lessons from the life of Noah. It is great, great, great way to learn how to obey the Lord. Lord, thank you so much for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. Thank you that you are with us, Lord. You never fail us. You're always with us, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for your mercy. We thank you so much for your love, Lord. Please, please be with us. Please, Lord, keep us. Please, Lord, lead us. And help us never, never, never fail you, Lord. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Yeah, thank you so much. So let's stand together and let's pray. Let's continue with Aaronic benediction, with our prayer. Kendron, can you? Thank you so much. Yeah, please.
Okay, I say that we are joined as much as we can while keeping our appropriate social distancing. So I'd like you all to please close your eyes, and you at home also, not here, please close your eyes. When you stop one area of information coming into your brain, you can concentrate on another. And I want you to concentrate on this prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant each and every one of you his peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panav lecha v'yachunecha. Yisa Adonai Adonai panav lecha. Vayasam lecha shalom. God bless you all.
Amen. And the last words I would like to say, if you are finding that life from home and services are blessing for you, please consider to be generous in your giving and your tithes and to be a blessing to Beth Israel. Thank you so much, and Shabbat Shalom.